Well, good morning. Glad you're here. Welcome to Corinth Church and welcome to our worship time. Thank you for setting the tone and bringing us into our worship time. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. We are here today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen and living Lord Jesus. And we are here to celebrate today our Lord's Supper. We're going to be sharing about that and partaking and participating with that in just a little bit. I won't read this passage to you. It has a lot to say about this subject and exactly what we're going to be doing. So in honor of God's Word, if you are able to, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, we are in need and indeed needy for your presence and your message to us today. So speak to our hearts. Enable us, embolden us, that we might see Jesus and willingly submit and surrender ourselves to your lordship and leadership today and beyond, to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are recognizing two symbols that represent what Jesus did for us on the cross. These symbols are the bread and the juice, or the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. They represent God's gracious act of mercy and His love for all mankind in the crucifixion of His Son, Jesus Christ, His Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In verse 26 of our passage, Jesus took bread, and he said, "This is my body." It represents my body. In 1 Corinthians 10, we have this word from God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." Excuse me. The representation of the bread is the body of Jesus. The representation of the juice is the blood of Jesus. They represent God's act of mercy for us in the crucifixion of Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, We have these verses, John 6, 53 through 58. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things He said in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus was no easy thing to hear. Many of His disciples after that time in John's gospel went away, quit following Him, quit listening to His teaching and abiding by His teaching. And why? Well, for this very reason. He was talking about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And most of us know that as cannibalism. But Jesus was talking of something more specific and more in-depth than what they got a hold of. He said, if you eat My flesh, drink My blood, you will have life in you. Life in you. How do we have life? We will live in Christ. We will live by His blood, and we will live by His body, His flesh. Jesus took bread and He blessed it, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Eat." Then He took the cup. In our passage, verse 27, 28, the cup represents the blood of Jesus. Then He took the cup, verse 27, and he gave thanks. You'll notice he did that before He took either one, before He partook of either one, and before He gave it to His disciples and shared with them, He blessed it. Do you say a blessing over your meal before you eat? You know, this is where having a blessing before you eat came from. We grew up and we had a blessing before we ate around the table. Today, a lot of people don't eat around the table. They eat around the TV table, watching the TV or whatever's on there, and don't have a blessing. But you know, you miss a blessing not having a blessing before you partake of your meal. He took the cup, He gave thanks, He blessed it and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will no longer drink from this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you from the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by life. Jesus gave His life, shed His blood, that life-giving flow that flowed through His veins and through His body. And He shed it on the cross. He poured it out on the cross. That blood that offers forgiveness, that blood that washes away our sins, that blood that represents the life of the Son of God, the life of Jesus Christ. By the way, that blood that flows through your veins and my veins provides life to you and me. The life of the body is in the blood. Without blood flowing through our veins, we don't live. We cease to live. And we cease to have a life. Well, what does all of this mean? When we eat the bread, we are participating in the body of Jesus. We're eating His flesh. Meaning we are participating in taking the body of Jesus. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood and to misrepresent. We're not talking about the literal body, flesh of Jesus. Jesus wasn't talking about His literal flesh. It is represented by the bread that we eat, His flesh, His body. And it isn't the literal blood that is meant, although it was literal body and blood of Jesus that was given on the cross, bruised and battered, beaten, and ran out for you and me. That was literal. But Jesus was talking here of partaking and participating of that act that He did as a representation of what He did because of His love for you and me. I don't know of any more. There's been no more practical way and literal way of proving the love of God for you and me than the giving of His Son, and the love of Jesus for you and me, than for Him to lay down His life. Jesus said, that proves, that is proof of the love of a friend for his friends. We are participating when we partake of the bread. We are participating, and we participated in the body, in the beating and the suffering, that which was done to Jesus' body. When we partake of that bread, we are participating in the tormenting and the causing of the suffering of the body in the body of Jesus Christ. We participated and are participating in the crucifixion of Jesus when we take of that bread. It was our literal sins. It is our literal sins that nailed Jesus to the cross and that caused Him to suffer in pain and agony. When we drink of the juice representing the blood of Jesus, we are participating in the taking of the life of Jesus, killing Jesus by causing His blood to be shed. And we are participating in that covenantal relationship of the blood sacrifice. If you go back to the Old Testament always had a blood sacrifice for the covering of sins. And that was the shortcoming in the Old Testament of those sacrifices that were blood sacrifices. They simply covered the sin. But in the New Testament came, Jesus came, and Jesus laid down His life. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to wash away the sins of everyone. Even while we were still an enemy to God. pause a minute and really think about that. We don't want to admit it. And come on, we can become real at this point. All of us have enemies. All of us do. Everybody says, well, I can't believe so-and-so had an enemy. She had an enemy. He had an enemy. Every one of us has an enemy. You have at least one enemy. The devil. Hopefully he ain't your friend. Well, you have him if you don't have another one. And believe me, you have another one. All of us do. We have enemies. Can you, would you, will you lay down your life for your enemy? I don't see anybody shaking their head, but you might as well go ahead. I don't think any of us would lay down our lives for our enemy. The Bible says, scarce would a man lay down his life for a friend. But none of us want to lay down our lives for our enemies. But the Bible says, while we were still in our sin, when we were at odds with God, when we were separated from God, when we were an enemy of God, Jesus Christ laid down his life. He was crucified for you and me while we were still an enemy with God. You say, Pastor Don, I wasn't even alive 2,000 years ago. No, you weren't. I wasn't. I may look like 2,000 years old, but I'm not yet there. I don't have a birthday today. Somebody has a birthday today. I think his initials are Leon Cobb. He's really living up out his Abrahamic life. But, none of us were alive back then. But listen, we were an enemy of God when we came into this world. Even before we came into this world, we were an enemy of God. We were separated from God by sin. So when we participated in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, we participated. We are participants. And we are acknowledging that when we come to this Lord's table. We're acknowledging that. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that. We need to confess that. We need to agree with God on that. But friends, we don't stay there because the Bible says in Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary and his body that was broken for us, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Our sins are gone. They're washed away. And we are participants in the righteousness of God. We're clothed in his righteousness. And it's because of that righteousness that we can say we have forgiveness of sins and we have a home in heaven. The Old Testament blood sacrifice covered sin. And that was a covenant relationship, a covenantal relationship. It was a promissory note, you might say, of the Lord Jesus. Well, the New Testament. In the New Testament, there is a new covenant. Hebrews 9:20, Matthew 26:28, Mark 14:24, which says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Woo! I am righteous. All my sins are washed away. Don Cashwell is a new creation in Christ. I am a new person. Don't you see the newness on me? Even at 71 years of age, can't you see that newness in Christ? I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I live today because of him. This is why we're here today. This is why this table means so much today. This is why we partake of this Lord's Supper today. Because of Christ's righteousness that clothes us from top of our head to the bottom of our feet with our sins washed away. So I've got a question to ask you. Have you partaken of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ yet? Have you partaken of the forgiveness of Jesus? Have you participated in the body and blood of Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, I got good news for you. You can right now. Bow with me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God loves us. He sent His Son Jesus to pay our sin debt on the cross. We participated in the brutality of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus in His body and His blood. But Jesus said, if you'll believe in me, trust me, I'll forgive you and give you abundant life now and eternal life with me in glory. Eternal. Jesus said, if you're afraid to confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. So what I want to ask you to do right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to call on the name of the Lord. You say, Pastor Don, how do I do that? Very simple. Simple thing to be saved. It's not as simple to live out the Christian life, but that's why Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to live out our lives for Him. Simply pray a prayer like this. You don't have to use these same words, but simply pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross and pay my sin debt. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life, forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. And help me to live the rest of my days for you. Thank you for saving me. Again, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. If you're ashamed of me before men, I won't acknowledge you before my Father. That's why we give a public invitation. So right now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed and everyone praying. But if you've prayed that prayer, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and life and save you, I want you to walk this aisle. I want you to come here and tell me. And I want to help you and pray for you and share with you. in the quietness of these moments, will you come? Lord Jesus, thank you for laying down your lives for us, your life for us, even while we were yet sinners, dying for us, paying our sin debt. And thank you for allowing us today the honor, the privilege of partaking in this meal to honor you, to praise you, and to remind us of your death, burial, and resurrection, and your coming again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.